This is the MagicWordPodcast.com.
Good morning, Colin Mishing. We are here. The convention is about to begin. This is day one on August 4th on Wednesday. And of course, it is Abbott's get-together, and in order to get your registration badge, you go to Abbott's. And here I am with the man himself, Mr. Greg Bordner. Hello, Greg.
Good morning.
To see you.
Yes, well, it's good to be seen, and that's better than being viewed.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And this past year has been, you know, we've had our ups and downs, certainly. We've had some rough times, and we've lost some people also, but this is the time for us to fight. And you have been doing the right thing, my friend, you and Debbie, as far as it seems like, of trying to be super cautious over the last couple of years and choosing not to have this, and I understand that.
Well, we have limited the number, and everyone we're selling anything to, any registration, we get their name, address, phone number, in case we need contact tracing. Mm-hmm. It's a crapshoot. We hope we can just get through one more week without something horrible happening.
Yeah.
And everything in the world being shut down.
Well, I heard that Marty and Brenda Hahn were on their way, and then as they were coming, apparently Brenda just found out she...
Yes. Tested positive.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. It's like a 10-hour drive, and she wasn't feeling well, and they stopped at the health department here in Centerville, 10 miles from here.
Oh, they were almost here.
Almost here. And he got, you know, he had a dealer's display and had been working for months to get everything ready. Mm-hmm. And she tested positive. And yeah. So they had to drive right straight home. They didn't want to infect anybody.
Of course.
You know, stop at a hotel. Well, you know, even though you're tired, you're shedding virus.
Wow.
You know, the plague.
Yeah.
And so they did the right thing and left. And he was very disappointed, as was I.
Well, yeah, yeah.
The dealer's room took quite a hit. Mm-hmm. They were going to be like a third of it.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a wow.
But, who are the other dealers, by the way, who are here this year?
Oh, Scott Correll, Lance is going to have a booth. And,
what's he got to sell?
Well, he still has stuff left over from the casino.
Oh, so he still got... Okay.
Yeah.
I got you from his crap shop.
Yes,
right.
Yeah, okay. Right. David Richardson with the... he does close-up magic and the jewelers, Gay and Harriet.
DJ Heavy, yeah.
And Abbott's, and that's about it now.
Okay. Yeah. It's still going to be in the gymnasium for the junior high as far as the dealers?
No,
or?
No, actually, we're just going to be in the cafeteria. It's air conditioned.
Much better. Yeah.
Well, if I'm going to sit there, at least I'm going to be comfortable.
You know, I think that's one of the things, by the way, I want to point out to the listeners that this isn't something that is all for profit for Abbott's. You give back to the community, and one of the things was the air conditioning. Was that right? Tell me about that in the gym.
That goes back to my father's time. When air conditioning was unheard of in a high school gym, especially a school the size of Colin's, and he more or less funded it and with some local contractors, and there were a lot of issues. And so over the years, we've, you know, helped redo that, and now they get some grants so then they can pay for it. That's always good.
Yeah.
And if they need any refresh, what do you call that?
Renovations.
Yes, to the air conditioner. It needs new stuff in it.
Yeah.
We'll help with that. But, yes, the Colin schools are wonderful this year. They've got the concession stand. She's going to stay open. A number of the restaurants here in town are closing at 2 o'clock, and they're not even going to try and stay open this week.
Hmm.
Curly's, we always had the close-up contest down there on Thursday night, and they're not going to do it. They don't have enough staff. He's leaving money on the table, but he just can't do it physically. They don't have enough personnel to run the restaurant full-time.
Well, I'm replacing that with my Magic and Martini Thursday's happy hour, so we're going to be having a bunch of people over for martinis there, so we're not going to be doing close-up, but I've got at least 14 people who are coming. So.
Oh, okay then. Well, good. I'm glad there's an event, even if it isn't scheduled.
Right.
It will be now.
Yeah, it will be now. That's right. Because I've got name badges and everything, because it's like the Magic and Martini convention.
Okay. A subset.
That's right. About So what should people expect that is different this year from previous years?
Well, everybody took a year off. We're ready to explode. It's so good to see our friends again. It's been 2 years. I was just happy to go somewhere. Yeah. Gene Anderson and George Schindler have both been in quarantine up until now. This is the first time George has gotten out of Brooklyn and Gene Anderson out of his home. He had a flood, and so he's been cooped up there just working on his house.
Yeah.
And they're both really happy to get out and about with the Magic community again.
Well, I saw Gene last night at David Seabock's party and visited with him briefly, and I know George has been, I was going to say despite his age, but because of his age, and he has been staying in, but he has embraced the virtual world because he is at every meeting. Every time I turn around, he attends everything, it seems like, you know.
Well, I'm sure he would go crazy because he's so used to getting out.
Yeah, he's a very social guy.
Yes, he is.
And he's going to be hosting the Ventorama on Saturday.
Yes, right here. I know it sounds like an anger management, but it's, no, it's fun ventriloquism.
I love it.
Yeah, so he's been doing that for years, and Scott Corral, who's also a ventriloquist and has figures for sale, he's one of the dealers here. He and George will be putting on the Ventorama. Yeah. And I'm sure Brenda Hahn would have been here with bells on, but ouch.
But another thing is they are not going to be having public shows. Is there going to be social distancing on the bleachers, or what's the plan there?
Yes. We're selling a lot less tickets, but at a much higher price. We did sell a few bleacher seats for the individual nights, but not the Saturday night. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants to see Lance.
Yeah.
He's a magic magnet. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we have fewer people in each row. There's more rows. We didn't put the risers in the back so that they're just spread out on the main floor. Mm-hmm. Farther apart, all the way around. We're not like sardines this year. And we sold less tickets. Well, some people that bought registrations just have to go to the bleachers.
Yeah.
You know, we're sorry.
But what was the total registrations?
Almost 600.
Okay.
The state of Michigan had all different restrictions all year long. You know, you can't do it, and then it was up to 350, and then they took everything off. But we're still indoors, and Debbie is very careful.
Oh, yeah.
You know, she has everybody's name, address, and phone number written down if there's any issues, and we would require, if we could, that everyone be vaccinated.
Yeah.
You know, I do have a mask right here that I hate, but I'm afraid I'm going to have to start wearing it today.
You think it, but that's not required by CDC regulations in Michigan.
No, or by Abbott's. It's optional, but a lot of people are wearing masks.
Well, I was concerned a little bit last night because when we went to the Amish group, the Amish are not vaccinated, and there are a few people wearing masks there last night. Not the Amish, but other people who were there, you know, interacting.
Yes, that does give me the willies.
Yeah.
The Amish are very independent. Mm-hmm. You know, they live a completely different lifestyle.
Yeah.
I don't want to get up with the chickens to feed the horses or clean up after either.
I'm glad somebody does that. And,
you know. Oh, it's wonderful.
Yeah.
You know, I love to even just look at horses, I love chicken, but not messing with them. Yeah.
Now, what about the lectures we're going to be having? Now, typically, again, they might be like in the gym, but what are they doing with them now?
Well, they are in the high school. And we're going to move them to the back if we can, just to free up the stage so they can do some of their get ready for the evening shows. Mm-hmm. Whenever we can, we're going to move the lectures towards the back and have them up in the bleachers and on the main floor any way we can.
Yeah.
We're still winging it.
That's true. Winging. Yeah, that's right. It really is. Talk about chickens.
I am. Yes.
One of the things, too, I was talking to Mark Holstein yesterday about the Thursday night show. There was going to be like a special guest, and now that has fallen through. Is that, you want, we can talk about that now, I guess.
I guess. I was trained not to use his name, but he's not going to be here, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's right.
No, but it was a TV personality that everybody knows. And now he's not coming.
Yeah.
I don't know if
he had his own TV show. I won't say his name, but the name of the show. We can name the show. It's a Carbonaro Effect.
Well, that's one way around it. They trained me not to say it because it would cost me $30,000 if I advertised his name. And I thought, gee, I cannot do that.
Yeah. But then I guess the reason I wanted to mention that up front, first thing here, because I posted the first day, or the prelude, actually. And so people who are listening to that thinking, oh, I might want to come Thursday because of this special guest. And so people who are listening to this now who might be thinking, I want to come just because of that, he's not coming. So I just want to let the people know that.
Right.
So.
And we don't sell evening show tickets in the bleachers now.
Okay.
We don't sell single tickets or doubles or anything. And we did raise the price. They used to be $20. This year they were $50 when they were available. Mm-hmm. We made a short window of just a few days, and they had to do it online, so we had all their information immediately printed out with their order, so I didn't misspell anything.
What about cancellations? How have you had a lot? Or has it gotten closer, or did you...
You always do, and it seems like there has been... Well, Brenda and Marty Hahn, for instance, you know, them.
Yeah.
You know, well, their seats are open, but they were in bleachers anyway, okay. So they weren't that desirable, but yes... yes, a number of people have canceled, so some people that are registering just today do get onto the floor. Uh-huh. We give them their seats. So it's always a juggling match, always. But it's almost 600.
Between you and Debbie, who else, I should say, in addition to you and Debbie, who else is organizing this as far as the, you know, putting together registrations and seat assignments and badges and all that kind of stuff?
It's almost all Debbie.
Oh, wow.
She is in charge.
Yeah.
You know, I just get out of the way.
Down to a science.
I'm not going to argue with her anymore. She won. Yes, dear, is my answer.
That's why I'm able to talk to you now. She's in there running the show.
That's right. That's exactly right. She's getting people's registrations. Now, we do have some helpers here to back her up. But, no, she is in charge top to bottom.
I think we talked about this when you were on my virtual happy hour a while back, and that had to do like with the future of Abbott's. And this is the 83rd year, and it's been run in the past then by ancestors of yours, basically. Does it look like you will have heirs or people who are apparently going to take this over?
Well, not at this time. A lot of people have asked, well, what are you going to do next year? How can you top this?
Yeah, this year. Golly, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're just going to try and get through this year. It's just one year at a time.
Yeah.
That's all. We're just going to concentrate on this year. I really can't predict the future.
You sound like St. Allen's. Kind of like, good. Focus on right, the here and the now and everything. But that was another thing I was going to ask about registration, not only cancellations, but additions, because I would think you had a lot of people who, once they heard that Lance Burton and company were going to be coming, and then Matt King was added on, and then all these other talent, you know, Jeff Hobson and David Williamson and everybody else, then did you start to see a big rush at around that time when the word got out?
It's been a constant flow of people registering. It really has been. There's been no tidal wave.
Okay, that's what I wanted.
Yeah, no, it's just been steady. Mm-hmm. Just been steady. So people learn things at different levels at different times, kind of a thing. But most people in Magic know that this is the only convention going this year so far.
Yeah, first one out of the chute.
Yeah, live. And we're going to try, you know, our best. Luckily, things have fallen in our favor as far as the state of Michigan and the virus, so that we can do this, because we were never 100% sure.
Yeah. Up until when?
About yesterday.
Okay.
Yeah, like I said, winging it is real easy here in Colin.
So if something could happen, we may cancel Friday. Who knows, right?
Well,
you know?
I certainly hope not.
No. Yes. Everybody's already here.
That's right. Yeah, that would be too late.
A little late.
People would probably run, you know, if... some disastrous thing happens.
So this is a daily report, and people are going to be hearing from day to day. Why should people, after they hear this, rush down and sign up? I mean, are there still a few, like say, registrations available, or and what would you suggest?
Well, there's only 7 registrations left, so if you're going to register, you might as well do it today so that we do have room for you by Saturday night. You know, even if it can only come one day, we're only selling complete registrations.
So probably call before you drive over here.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Had a fellow this morning. He was not registered. He's been talking to us on the phone. He's from originally Florida, and he has a friend that's going to meet him here from New York City. And he registered both of them this morning. Mm-hmm. So, yes, now we have like 5 left.
Yeah, I would always recommend people call in advance, because not only will those be sold soon, and probably by the time this comes out, it might be sold out, but you might have some others, people who have called and canceled.
That is true. One never knows.
Yeah.
It's
got to keep up with it.
It's a crapshoot.
Any particular act that you're looking forward to this year as an organizer? I know as an organizer, when I've done this in the past, it's like, no, I'm looking at the organization of it in the back, the scenes behind the curtain, so I'm really not paying so much attention. But do you have something you're looking forward to or glad that this person or thing showed up or event happened? Or?
Well, I'm certainly happy that Lance can make it,
even
though he's not going to do the bird act. I keep telling people that they expect that act. No, he hasn't done that in years, and he's not going to. That's a big commitment in his life. Mm-hmm. I remember after Norm Nielsen retired, I called him up and said, well, is there any chance you could come out of retirement and do your act just one more time? And he thought about it, and he said, well, thank you for asking, but no. Yeah. It would take me 3 to 4 months before I could do that act again, and he didn't say, you're not worth it. But he said, it's not worth it.
Yeah. It's not it. One other thing that it does, and we'll wrap this up, and that has to do with a special event this year, and that is we're going to be having a celebration of life ceremony for Walter Blaney out at Lakeside Cemetery. That's unique. I mean, we always have Al Yonley giving tours, and he's got a new book that's now 550 pages, so I recommend everybody go. Even if you have the old book, get this next edition because it has a lot more in it. And I'm going to be going there today to help celebrate. But
You're from Texas.
Yeah.
And he was a wonderful man.
And I own the plot right next to him.
Your neighbor.
I'm right stage left, right next to Walter.
Okay. Well, there's no such thing as bad investments in real estate.
That's right.
Even though they're small.
I saw Don Weiberg last night at the dinner, at the Amish dinner, and he said, hey, neighbor. And I said, you moving? And he said, I just bought a plot near yours.
Well, it's one big happy family forever.
It is.
Yes, it'll be wonderful. A lot of people are going to go there, and it'll be a nice tribute to Walter Zany Blaney. Things are always bigger in Texas.
That's right. And so the first event here is going to be Eric DeCamp's lecture, followed by Nick DeFont's lecture. Is that right today?
Yes, 1 o'clock is the first lecture. Right. Mm-hmm. So then we close the dealer's room. We're not going to try and stay open for that. So if you don't go to the lecture, then go sit in your car.
But that's all going to be happening still in the same
high school. Yeah. All in the high school. Yes.
That's a nice thing, so we're not having to go back and forth between junior high and high school.
And it's air-conditioned.
And
that doesn't happen everywhere.
No, and you know, it's been lovely weather, Greg. When I played golf yesterday, that's the best weather I have ever played golf in here locally. It was amazing.
It is. God is smiling on us.
He is. He's glad to see us out, too.
Apparently, he's happy to let this happen.
Or she is glad to see us out.
Whatever. Whoever. I don't care if you're Buddhist or whatever.
Glad you're here.
Yeah.
That's right.
Glad to be alive.
Yeah. And I'm glad you're here, too. So good to see you. You're looking good and healthy. And appreciate you also being on my virtual happy hour. That was so much fun.
Last year. Yes, that was a fun time. It helps break up the monotony of being in lockdown and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, I always rub Buddha's belly more than I rub my own.
I kind of feel like I am rubbing Buddha's belly, I guess.
Oh,
when I say, I have a godlike body, Buddha's, you know.
Yeah.
After COVID, I've got this COVID belly, you know.
Yeah, well, I understand. It's a battle.
Well, looking forward to it. Thanks again to you and Debbie for putting this on and everything that you guys have done over your life. I mean, and particularly this year is carrying this on and coming out and poking your head out of the shell, and this is going to be great.
Well, thank you, Scott. It's great to be here.
Okay, thanks. So for the Magic Word Podcast from Abbott's Magic Factory here in Colon, Michigan, that was Greg Mortner. Scotty out. All right, well, before we head over to the Walter Blaney's Celebration of Life service there at Lakeside Cemetery, I wanted to talk again with Mark Holstein to figure follow-up from yesterday's conversation, since we're not going to be having the original surprise guest who was going to be on Thursday night. I'm wanting to report this because I know people who are listening now who might be going to come for Thursday, especially for that, will be not disappointed, but they're still going to see a great show. But tell me what's happening and what do you know?
Well, so the original surprise guest was going to be Michael Carbonaro, who had registered and was planning to come to the convention, was very excited about it. And then when Guy Hollingsworth dropped out, he agreed that he would perform, couldn't announce it because of contractual issues that, but unfortunately, he's decided with the Delta variant that he was going to take a pass and not be here. So instead, we have the great David Charvet, who is doing his Dante's Beer Barrel. And if those of you haven't seen it, it's amazing. Not only is it classic, it is a really amazing trick.
Yeah.
And he's got a great presentation, so it's definitely not second best.
There's a video online people should watch.
Well, or wait and see it live.
Yeah, well, of course.
Yeah, yeah. No,
for those who are watching or listening to this.
Fair enough. It's absolutely fantastic. Yeah. So it's definitely not a disappointment.
Any other people on Thursday night's show, do you remember who?
Well, I don't know that I'll remember everybody, but Mike Caveney's the host, and he organized the show. I know Tim Wright is on the show. Tina Leonard is on the show. Joel Hodgson, and then some kid from Kentucky named Matt King.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. We're in for a great night.
Just a usual night.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's going to be amazing.
And that's just the opening night.
No, tonight's opening night, and it's Michigan Acts. So we've got Stuart McDonald doing his award-winning act. We've got...
He's been doing a lot of tweaking to get him ready for FISM.
That's right. Kevin James, of course, local hero, is planning to do some great stuff. We have John Jansky doing what John does, and I don't want to say much about it because people who haven't seen it, they should be surprised. Mm-hmm. And who am I forgetting? Oh, and BJ Mallon is the MC, of course, Colon resident and great friend of everybody at the get-together.
Right. Good. Yeah, thanks, Mark, for the update.
Yeah, okay. Of course.
Magic Word Podcast. That was Mark Holstein. Scotty out. Oh, we're getting started then right now. And George Schindler is here. Hey, George.
How you doing?
I'm okay. We're here for Walter's service, and I guess we're getting started right now.
So okay, let's go over there.
Congregate. You've known Walter for a long time.
I've known him for many, many years. I was in touch with Walter on email. He sent me all these jokes every 2 weeks.
Yep.
It was fantastic. Well, good to see all these people. All the collectors are out here today.
They have a collection of collectors.
They're all the collection collectors, yeah. We'll talk to you later in the week.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, yeah, that's much better. Oh, I hate it because I can hear my voice. Y'all are all used to that. I'm a skater, so we don't talk. I'm just so honored that all of you are here. I'm Walter's daughter, Shannon. I'm the youngest of the three. I'm just like floored that you all are here. And just want to thank you for loving my dad. He always felt the love of everyone. And you guys made his life wonderful. So thank you so much. Becky, most of y'all know my sister Becky because she also did magic. She unfortunately couldn't make it. She's got some health issues, and she's very sad today, so say a prayer for her. But she's at peace, and she's going to be watching this on Facebook. and then I have my sister Carol. She would have come also, but she lives in Canada, and unfortunately there's lots of COVID restrictions, and she also broke her leg, so she also couldn't make it, and I'm so sad. But I just want to introduce you to you sort of my adopted brother. He's going to get things started, Dan Summers. And he kind of came into our lives about, I was 15. So I don't even want to say how many years ago that was. But he moved to near my dad about 20 years ago. And that was about the same time I moved across the street from my dad. And so Dan just kind of became part of the family. We adopted him. He's come to lots of Christmas dinners and Thanksgiving dinners and ZB birthday parties, and he's got lots of funny stories to tell, but I'll leave that to him. Y'all can talk to him about that. He used to come over and have lunch with my dad just about 3 or 4 times a week, all the time, and Dad just loved him, and he built and still is building ZB's Levitation, and he's starting a new venture to carry on a lot of my dad's legacy with other illusions and tricks. And anyway, I just want y'all to know that Dan is really part of our family. We love him. And coming here was his idea to carry on my dad's legacy. And this was all his idea. There's a lot of stuff going on that went on with this. But I have to thank Dan. And I'm just so thankful that he thought of all this. So that we could do this. And so, anyway, I'd introduce my loving adopted brother, Dan.
Thank you very much, Shannon. And thank all of you for coming out today to be part of this wonderful celebration. And so we're going to have the big reveal right here. And before I pull this off, there's two gentlemen that I'd like to thank because they actually made this possible, Bill Smith and David Starr. A big round of applause because he took care of everything. Bill took care of everything, finding the company, doing the design. David Starr helped him present the etching, and you're going to see it right now. And keep that applause going as we unveil it. Isn't that fantastic? And you can notice that it is in the shape of the Alamo.
Yes.
Well, Walter was a true and true Texan. Absolutely. Yeah. And has a big star. Well, Walter was a big star. And it features two of his Premier Illusions, the Ladder Levitation, and the Vanishing Birdcage, and those were the two magic effects that put him on every national television show in the country and took him around the world and gave him a 70-year career in magic. And so thank you, Bill. Thank you, David, for making this happen. It's just, it's really beautiful. Just stunning. And I'm not going to say very much other than this could not be a more perfect place to bring Walter here on sacred ground, at the magic capital of the world here in Colon, because Walter is surrounded by all his friends right now. He knew everybody. Everyone that's here, he knew. He forged wonderful relationships with all the magicians over the past 70 years. So, like I said, perfect place right here, and it's the perfect time at Abbott's get-together, because it was in the early 60s when Walter premiered his Ladder Levitation.
Wow.
And it was the first time that most magicians had the opportunity to see the levitation. And he was on one of the gala shows. He closed the show, and he got a standing ovation. And in the audience that night was one of Walter's idols, Jack Gwynn. And I think arguably you could say that up to that point, Jack had the best levitation, suspension, most portable, wonderful levitation. And anyway, Jack was in the audience, and when the curtains closed, he got up, went backstage, found Walter, gave him a big bear hug, and he said, "That is the most amazing illusion I've ever seen." He said, "And you fooled me. I have no idea how you did it." And Walter said, "Well, thank you very much. Can I show it to you? Can I show you how it works?" And Jack said, no, I could never ask you to show me how it works. It's your illusion, it's your design, I won't ask you. And Walter said, no, you don't understand. You don't understand. I'm asking you if you want to see it. So, as the story goes, later that night, across from the post office, on the sidewalk, under the streetlight, Walter opened up the Ladder Levitation, showed Jack Gwynn, and there were tears of joy. They both knew at that point that Jack Gwynn was passing the torch on to Walter, and that was the levitation that took him, you know, through his career. Yeah. So that's why I say it's a perfect time for doing this, and all of you are part of it, and we thank you very much for joining us today. And let's see, who is next? Yes. I'd like to introduce to you a very good friend of Walter's and mine. We actually go way, way back. He's from Wisconsin. And, you know, when we're 13 years old, we're doing magic and ventriloquism like every other young magician. And Brother Paul went on to be a circus promoter and be a ring announcer. And but 25 years later, his vocation changed, and he joined the monastery at St. John's in Collegeville, Minnesota. It's a beautiful area. It's on a large parcel of land with two big universities. And he's the theater director, been the theater director there for 25 years. But anyway, I thought we would have him begin the ceremony this afternoon with a prayer. So please welcome our very good friend, Brother Paul Vincent Niebauer.
It is an honor to be here. I'm a Benedictine, and as St. Benedict says, make your prayer short and from the heart. So listen carefully, because it's not going to go on for very long. Okay? Gracious God, we gather here to commend our brother Walter to God, having committed his body to the earth. We thank you for the gift of life and the gift that Walter's life was to each one of us. We thank you for the promise of immortality that far exceeds the riches of this world. We praise you that the earthly body is exchanged for paradise and the promise of a redeemed and glorified body. Amen.
Okay, so show's going on. Okay, so I'm going to introduce to you Walter's granddaughter. She's my youngest of three children, and when she was born, Zeebe was across the street, so Zeebe got to see a lot of Mallory. Mallory has kind of followed his footsteps in the entertainment field, and she loves musical theater. She's studying theater at Texas State University. And Zeebe watched every single performance that she ever did in junior high and high school and after. And he always loved to hear her sing. Anyway, so she's going to sing a song from Camelot. Camelot was Dad's favorite musical, along with My Fair Lady, but we chose the song from Camelot. And there's no, like, real meaning behind it. You know, we don't want to make everybody cry or anything. It's just one of his favorite songs. And he always thought of his two main loves of his life, Sandy Rings and my mom, Joyce Blaney. And anyway, this is my daughter, Mallory.
Hey, everybody. I'm just going to open with a little prayer again. So, hi, God. I just want to thank you for everyone being here today. And I just want to bless everyone with your grace and your peace and your love today. And as we celebrate Zeebe's life. So, amen. I loved you once in silence, my heart filled with misery, trying so to keep my love from showing, all the while not knowing. Yes, loved me in lonesome silence, your heart filled with dark despair, knowing love would flame you in forever, and I'd never, never knew the flame was there. Then one day we cast away secret longing. The raging tide we held inside was all I knew. The silence at last was broken. We flung wide our prison door. Every joyous word of love was spoken. And now twice as much fear, twice the pain for us, twice the despair, twice the strain for us, as we had known before. Thank you, guys.
That's Mallory. Thank you so much. Gosh. Walter loved you so much and was so proud of you. You know, during the pandemic, things were, as many of you know, were kind of difficult for retired individuals living alone. You know, you couldn't go out to have dinner or lunch, and so Walter spent, of course, a tremendous amount of time at home, couldn't go out, and not a lot of company with all the social distancing. But I'll tell you, and the reason I mention this is there's something that he looked forward to every Sunday, and it was the Magic Collector's Corner, and what we call it the David and Lance Show. And he loved them very much, and he looked forward to the show at a quarter to the hour, quarter to seven, every Sunday. I'd get a phone call, and it'd be Walter, and he'd say, "Dan, you're going to watch the show?" I said, "Yes." "Well, can you get me hooked up?" So remotely from my computer, I would log on to his computer and get him logged on, and we'd sit, in our homes and watch the show, enjoy the show. And so I thought it just might be so appropriate, and we're so proud and honored to have David Sandy come and give the Broken Wand ceremony. And for those of you who have never seen the Broken Wand ceremony, it's a tradition when a magician passes, And if you haven't seen it, I encourage you to listen to the words. They're very magical and mystical. And so with that, I'm going to turn things over to David Sandy.
Thank you, Dan. Walter was a very good friend, and this is, I've done this a number of times. This one's particularly challenging. Just bear with me. We are gathered together in the name of God and to commemorate with thanksgiving the life of Walter Zaney Blaney. Walter, as a member of our great magic fraternity, was linked in fellowship with magicians all over the world, and his interest, activity, and skill of performing and inventing magic was enjoyed by those who were privileged to share his friendship. We offer this time as commemoration for his life and express our sympathy, prayers, and hope in the power of life eternal to his loved ones. The wand, in story and symbol, is an ancient conjuring representation of mystery. To the uninitiated, it is merely a piece of wood. To our late fraternal member Walter, it was a reminder of him, of the reminder to him of the joy and pleasure of an entertainment art that has existed since ancient times. This symbol was for our departed friend and historic emblem, like that old illusion of the linking rings. It linked him with others of like mind and heart in this vast magic fraternity. This wand without Walter is now useless. The magic that infused itself into the life of performing on this earth is now broken and joined with the magic of the eternal. The magic of Earth is over. The magic and mystery of another realm awaits Walter and will be revealed. May God bless the life of Walter Blaney. May we now have a moment of silence, offering our prayers for Walter, each in our own way, and for his loved ones, that they may continue in faith and hope. May God bless Walter Zaney Blaney and his family and his friends.
Thank you, David. That was wonderful. That was tremendous. See what I mean? That was just awesome. Well, for those of you who saw Walter do the Vanishing Birdcage, you can almost hear him now saying, as he did the first Vanishing Birdcage, he'd say, "Folks, I have thousands of cages back here," as he would reach behind his back. Well, our good friend Lance Burton has a few words to mention about that.
Thank you, Dan. Thank you, everybody, for being here. I'm honored to be asked by the family to say a few words on behalf of Brother Walter. And I say Brother Walter because Walter's family's here, but aren't we his family also? Don't we have a Facebook group called Abbott's Magic Family? Don't we think of each other as family? Don't we gather here together? I'm looking out over the crowd, and I'm seeing some faces of some of the greatest magicians in the world standing right here. And any one of these guys are qualified to say this, but since I have the floor, let me say it. First of all, Walter Blaney, whatever measuring stick you want to use to measure, was one of the greatest magicians of all time. Of all time.
Yes.
Walter cast an incredible shadow in the world of magic through his, what, 7 decades of performing? Is that correct? So first of all, I think we need to acknowledge that. And the other thing I think we really should acknowledge is, look around us here. There's a lot of intersecting lines, but they're not straight lines. They're lines that go in a circle. And I've already heard stories this morning, just getting up and having coffee. I heard a Fielding West told us a story about Walter, the first time he met Walter. And Keith has stories about that. But we're all here, and this is, don't let this moment go by without realizing that this is an important moment where these circles are coming back to the starting point. I'll tell you what I'm talking about. 44 years ago, I saw Walter for the first time here at Abbott's. I already knew who Walter was. My mentor, Harry Collins, was a big fan of Walter's and a friend of Walter's and spoke very highly of Walter. So I saw him at the Abbott's show. Now, that was the year of the infamous contest. Matt King, Jeff Hobson, and I, and they're here too, competed in the youth contest that year. Now, what a lot of people don't realize is Walter was there. He was a judge at the contest. And I'll tell you how I found this out. I don't know if it was a secret or if it was just a well-kept secret. I don't know what the policy was. But as kids, we didn't really know who the judges were. But a couple of weeks after the contest, I'm talking to Matt King, and he mentions that he got a letter from Walter Blaney. And I'm like, you got a letter from Walter Blaney? He says, yeah. I says, why did he write you a letter? He says, well, he was one of the judges in the contest. And I was like, I was in the contest. I didn't get a letter from Walter Blaney. What did he say in this letter that he wrote to you? And I never saw the letter. I only have Matt King's word for this. So take that as you will. But anyway, Mac said, Walter Blaney wrote me a letter saying, Dear Mac, I'm Walter Blaney. I was a judge at the contest, and I wanted to tell you that not to feel bad that you didn't win first place, because comedy acts never win first place in these contests, but I want you to know that I appreciated your act and what you did and that you're on the right track and keep doing what you're doing. Encouraged him. If Walter Blaney hadn't written that letter, who knows where Matt King would be today? That's what I'm saying. There is a circle coming back to complete itself. Here we are with Walter. Mac is here. I'm here. Jeff Hobson's here. You guys are all here. This is an important moment for our family. And what I suggest is, at lunch, I would love to hear more of these type of stories. Walter, we know Walter was a great magician. But the point of me saying this to you is, we all know people who have great acts who are terrible human beings. No names, please. But Walter was not. He took the time. He didn't have to write Matt King a letter. He took the time. He was here. He was Abbott's. He was the big hit at the convention. He's the big star. Here's a kid. Here's a teenager that he saw that won a prize in the U.S. He wrote him a letter to encourage him because... And it was. Did you ever hire him? Well, see, that there's one circle that you missed. So that's all I'm saying. Just appreciate this moment, and that we're all here, and that we're all family, and that's really all I have to say. We do have one more. Oh boy, it's starting to get windy now. We do have one more. Well, speaker, I guess. It's Elvis, ladies and gentlemen. Now, it's not the real Elvis. That's just the bird's name. And but, by the way, Elvis is very closely related to the Texas oo-ah bird. You all know the Texas oo-ah bird. Well, he's not exactly the same species, but he is a descendant of the Texas oo-ah bird, and Elvis has, and he is in his shiny new cage, and it says Blaney right here on this top bar, and Elvis has a little trick he'd like to show you. He calls this going south. Oh, I'm sorry, Elvis. Sorry, folks. So cool. He refuses to do the trick, unless the cage is covered so you can't see him. He's not very smart. Okay. No, Elvis, they can't see him. Oh, I'm sorry. Elvis says, He wants to see his fans one more time. Say goodnight, Elvis.
This is so cool. Yeah.
Woo! Ladies and gentlemen, Elvis has left the building, and we all should too. I will see you at lunch. Thank you very much.
Thank you, man. Woo!
Aloha, Walter. One more big hand for Walter Blaney, folks.
Very nice.
So right here, hold on, Chad. Just say hello. Excuse me, Walter.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Walter. This is Chad Long, and that was just beautiful. That was a really great ceremony. I'm glad I'm here.
And
what a nice tribute. And surprising, I'm standing in front of Denny Haney, one of my favorite people of all time.
Yep.
Wow. Great to see you, Scott.
Yep, you too. Yeah, I would love to walk around and kind of chat with so many people who are here for this auspicious occasion. Everyone is just kind of reuniting and telling stories. So, wish you could be here. And in a way, you are. Scotty out. We have just finished with the Walter Blaney Celebration of Life ceremony, both at the cemetery, and then had a little thing at a restaurant then afterwards. And this particular convention is the guest, I say, start to say guest of honor, but I guess it's held in honor of the Blackstone family. And so I've got with me Gay Blackstone. Hello, Gay.
Hello there. How are you doing today?
Fantastic. Good to see you. So this is honoring both Blackstone Senior, Junior, whole family, and everybody all together. Is that kind of?
That's kind of the way it is, because mm-hmm. when you stop and realize that the whole reason that the get-together is in Colon is because of Blackstone. Because in 1926, he and Inez bought Blackstone Island, which at that point was an island except for 3 months of the year when the water went down, and then it became a peninsula. And it's since been filled in so that it's a peninsula the entire time.
Okay. Wow. And so, again, Blackstone Senior used to go in during the summer when I guess there wasn't any air conditioning back in the theaters. Is that, no?
Just as like in Europe and in England and all now, there's no air conditioning in theaters. So shows would basically go through Memorial Day, and then they would take off for the summer and go back to work then after Labor Day. Mm-hmm. And because there was a train that went through Colon, it made it a perfect spot. So on the island, they would make the new illusions, they would repair the old ones, they would repaint, refurbish, whatever they needed to do in the big barn. And then there were all these little cottages so people could stay for the summer. And because Blackstone raised crops, which then at that point, as they could, the Amish family, the Yoder family, they would take care of the crops. And then during the summer, they would help cook and all for everyone there. And in exchange, then Senior would give them all the rest of the crops so that they could feed their family or sell it or whatever they wanted to do. He also had an aviary there of blue herons. So what he would do with the blue herons, that they would be there all year. And when he sold the island, he took them to Grand Rapids to the aviary zoo there. So okay. That's they're there. And then they also had, he had a deal with Wrigley's. And so on the upper road.
Wrigley's of Wrigley's Gum.
Yes, on the upper road in the back section, all that way. That's why it still smells of mint, because at that point he was selling about 80% of all the mint that Wrigley's needed for their chewing gum. So those were little side things that were going on because of the island.
Wow, that's interesting. So, well, listen, we're getting ready to start right now for our tour of the American Museum of Magic while we're here. Jeffrey Allen's getting ready to lead us on a tour. We can talk a little bit later over there.
Absolutely, because I'm so excited to do the tour, because they have a whole new section that they have put together on Blackstone Senior. So I'm looking forward to seeing it.
I'm looking forward to seeing it, too, because it's just a special exhibit and special tour that Jeffrey's giving just for Blackstones, and I feel like I'm just kind of a fly on the wall.
And a few special friends.
As well. Thank you for including me. Uh-huh. As Gay Blackstone. Scotty out. the day you have heard the broadcast of the service we had out there for Walter Blaney at Lakeside Cemetery. And we're getting ready for, again, the opening evening gala show. And I've got with me one of the people who had helped put together Walter Blaney's celebration over there, Daniel Summers. Hey, Daniel.
How are you doing, Scott?
Fantastic. I want to thank you very much again. So there's a beautiful... Explain what the headstone looks like.
The headstone is in the shape of the Alamo, Texas Alamo, of course, because Walter was from Texas, and he was honored by many of the governors throughout his career as being the Texas Ambassador of Goodwill. And so the headstone is in the shape of the Alamo,
yeah,
with the big star. Well, Walter was a big star. And the beautiful etching that was actually designed by David Starr shows a wonderful picture of Walter with the ladder levitation and his vanishing birdcage, which were two of his, you know, trademark magical effects that took him all over the world and got him on all of the national television programs that we had, you know, here in the States.
And I
should mention that we really need to thank Bill Smith and David Starr. They were responsible for finding the monument company to build the headstone and doing
the purchasing
it and the photoshopping. It's just a marvelous memorial.
It's beautiful. I recommend people go to the website at themagicwordpodcast.com and they can actually see a picture of that. So it was very nice, and it was a good job that you did. And you drove up here all the way in your van, is that right?
Well, actually, I flew to Chicago,
okay,
you know, and my very good friend, Brother Paul Vincent, met me with the motorhome in Chicago, and we just drove from Chicago to Colon.
Okay, so it was his van, not yours.
It's his motorhome.
Motorhome, I mean.
Well, it's actually one of his nephews.
Okay.
Said
it's a relative.
A relative, yes.
Now, have you ever performed here at Abbott's?
I have never.
Okay. No. You used to do a lot of ventriloquism, so are you going to go to the vent thing on Saturday morning?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Well, my ventriloquist sweet teacher when I was in high school happened to have been Howie Olson. And Howie Olson was in charge of the Ventorama for several decades, as long as I can remember. And so I am looking forward to that. I want to see the current ventriloquist, and George Schindler will be there hosting it this year. And so that should be very interesting.
I don't suppose you got a chance this afternoon to see any of the lectures with Nick Defot or anybody? Or?
I did not. But I plan on attending more of the events
in
the next couple of days.
Yeah,
you betcha.
Looking forward to it.
So
as
good
well.
To see you.
This is great seeing you, Daniel. Thanks again for everything that you do. So for the Magic Word Podcast, that was Daniel Summers. Scotty out. So we just finished the big evening show, and we're backstage, and I'm watching B.J. Mallon put his pants on. So it was the MC. He charges extra for that show. Sorry, I didn't have my video going, folks, back at home, all you ladies and some guys. But I've got one of the people also who was here that was a highlight variety act, and I would recommend that if you guys are going to be looking for something like that in upcoming conventions, you ought to have John Jansky, who is fantastic. And he's a speed painter, and here he is right now. Hey, John.
Well, thank you very much. Hello, Scott. It's a pleasure talking with you.
And what I thought was interesting is how that you had combined speed painting with magic or mentalism, actually.
Yes. I've been a big fan of magic and mentalism for a very long time. I've drawn since I was 5 years old, and I figured out a way to combine my love of both and put it together in an act that has been widely accepted. So I'm very grateful for the attention and the opportunities, and I look forward to people like yourself helping coach me into a better routine.
Well, thank you. No, I thought it was very good. Got a lot of great potential. Did you just start really adding the mentalism to this within the past? Well, of course, we haven't worked much, but
well, I've put it together around 2016. And it's been a work in progress. Mm-hmm. So figuring out different ways to present it and taking tips from people that are in the audience. So it's been a work in progress for about 4 years now.
Okay. Now, what were you doing during the last 18 months, during quarantine, since you were not working? Were you practicing? Were you painting?
Actually, my full-time career is in a distribution center in Danville, Illinois.
Okay. You mean like Amazon distribution or kind of a thing?
For AutoZone, distribution. Okay. Yeah. So we were working the entire time. So the thing that I wasn't able to do was live performances, but I did get to paint at home, and this time I got to paint people I wanted to paint as well.
Yeah.
So I created several paintings on my own of people I'd like to see.
Yeah. Well, I saw a lot of them on Instagram. I follow you on Instagram. It's got a lot of really – and I recommend people, by the way. Is it John Jansky?
It is.
Yeah, John Jansky.
John underscore Jansky on Instagram or John Jansky Art on Facebook.
It's really some cool stuff, and you'll want to follow him also. You've got at least, what, a dozen or two followers, I think.
At least six, yes.
Yeah, I think I'm almost there. And so I heard you talking with someone out there earlier about how you got into it, going from one thing to another. I mean, it was, no pun intended, yeah, and speedy painting was kind of, again, no pun intended, but it was kind of speedy the way that you got to it, because one thing led to another quickly.
It was purely by accident. I made a bet with someone online. I lost the bet. I asked him what he'd like. I thought maybe he wanted $20. He says, film yourself saying you're wrong. You always think you're right. So I pulled out a big piece of plastic, and I did what you call speed painting. I didn't even know it existed, and people seen it. And my son's third grade teacher, Lisa Unzicker, she seen it, called the local news channel. They thought it was great and invited me to the show to perform live. And I did my mentalism the very first time I performed it for people. Mm-hmm. I had him think of Rob Thomas in the morning. I had him think of one of the 44 presidents at the time. And I read his mind and painted who he was thinking of.
Wow.
Wow. And it was a strong act as long as both things go well.
Yeah, as long as everything goes well. Of course, just like magic.
Yes.
Anything else, exactly. Who was one of the most difficult portraits you've ever worked on?
Well, I could tell you in general, it's females. Hmm. Men have
hair, makeup.
Because women are beautiful and soft and
sure.
smooth.
Okay.
And
cheekbones.
My artwork is very quick and sloppy. And you look for like characteristics on the face that distinguish mm-hmm. one another. And women just seem to be the hardest to do in three or four colors in 5 minutes and make it look beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say females.
So do you prefer doing speed painting or do you like to do portraits?
Wow. See, when I do portraits in pencil, I put in so much time and so much detail, it looks like a photograph. And I was amazed that people liked seeing me do something like this in 5 or 6 minutes. But Gene Simmons from KISS, who I was able to meet through my own artwork, his advice was simply this. Don't tell your audience what they should like. It doesn't matter how long or how much training. They like what they like. You just put it out there and let them choose what they like. And that's what I've done.
Yeah. Wow. That's great. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like I saw also on Instagram that you designed tattoos.
I do tattoos. On a part-time basis, I've been a tattoo artist for about 6 years now. And my favorite thing is portraits. I love doing portraits and realism. And tattoos are just, you know, the body's a temple. I'm going to put in a few stained glass windows.
Oh, that's a good way to look at that. I hadn't thought of that. Huh, interesting.
Yeah, very cool.
So, now you're from Decatur, Illinois, or where?
Danville, Illinois. Very close to Champaign, Illinois. Danville is a home of Dick Van Dyke.
Yeah.
And Gene Hackman and Bobby Short.
Yeah.
And I got to perform at Dick Van Dyke's 90th birthday a few years ago.
How cool was that? That's very cool. Yeah. No, my wife is from Mattoon, Illinois, and
yes.
I went to school at Southern Illinois University, so I'm familiar with the area. So,
oh, great.
Yeah. Well, listen, you did a great job. Thanks again. I appreciate having a chance to chat. And you got some pictures here, and I recommend people go to the website at themagicwordpodcast.com for this episode to take a look at some of the photos of these portraits, which are going to be up for auction. And do you have any expectation of how much? And what we've got is Norm Nielsen, Walter Zaney, Blaine, Tom Mullica. The one he painted tonight was Johnny Thompson. Then he's got Gary Arwin as well. Any expectation as to...
That's really hard to guess because it's all going to charity. Mm-hmm. And the paintings go anywhere for a couple grand to $20,000 for the paintings that I've done at the benefits. So it's anyone's guess. It just depends on how generous people are and if they've come to help donate and give to the cause.
Yep, I know exactly. I've been to some of these things before. It depends upon the clientele and kind of there are a lot of factors in there. But these are really cool. I recommend going to the website to take a look, and I'm going to put those on there. John, thanks again very much. That was
Thank
great.
Thank you very much, Scott. I appreciate you very much. And a big fan, been watching you for years, so it's a pleasure talking to you. Thank you.
You're welcome. So for the Magic Word Podcast, that was John Jansky. This is Scotty out.